We catch up with Jim Heaney, the editor of Investigative Post, and he's being honored tonight with the Nellie Bly Award at the Museum of Political Corruption. Among other things that Jim has done, he's one of the people who really broke the Buffalo Billion story, where the staff person for Governor Cuomo ended up convicted for corruption. So Jim, what were some of the lessons we should learn from the Buffalo Billion situation?
Just how non-transparent and corrupt a lot of economic development contracting practices are in this state. It happened in the development and the award of a development contract for what is now the Tesla plant in Buffalo, which makes solar roofs. But it's a problem throughout state government. And there have been some steps taken to head off problems like that in the future. But I'm not convinced that the ethics of this current administration is gonna let that happen without a fight.
I actually just heard today that the state was writing off the investment in the Buffalo Billions on their spreadsheet. One thing that struck me about that trial was the developer who got the bid actually complained to the state, you got to be a little less obvious when you rig a bid. Mm-hmm. Don't take 25 separate points that only we can deal with. You know, just make it three or something.
Yeah, it was clumsy, but you know that is being subtle when it comes to stuff like this isn't Andrew Cuomo style.
So do you think we've seen any cleanup in corruption in Albany or Buffalo since that trial?
On paper, yes. But I'm not convinced that we have genuine clean contracting practices yet. Some of the reforms that folks wanted to see happen have been stymied by the Cuomo administration and their allies in the legislature. And to me, you know, a lot of it just boils down to personal ethics. And again, I think this governor and his administration leaves a lot to be desired when it comes to personal ethics.
And speaking of Buffalo, of course, your local congressman just ran into a little corruption problem with using insider information to get his son, I guess, to bail out on an investment deal.
Yeah, I think, there's a common thread, which I think is unfortunately common in government at both the state and federal level, which is what's in it for me? And so you see things like insider trading and awarding contracts to political contributors and whatnot, because a lot of people who hold elected office are in it for themselves.
And so how did you break the Buffalo Billion story? Somebody sneak you a packet of information on the door one day, or is it the old-fashioned hard work?
No, it was hard work and persistence. I had some people in the development community initially alert me to the fact that they didn't think the selection process for a developer was being done in the up and up. And I just started digging and nosing around, and it took that first major story took about 6 months to complete, in part because as editor of Investigative Post, I'm off doing a lot of things. I couldn't give it my undivided attention, but a lot of it was just incredible stonewalling by Elaine Carlieros and his shop in the Cuomo administration, which required me to be both patient and persistent. And, eventually the story came out. Fortunately, U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara read the story, thought there might be something to it. And as I told some reporters from the Times Union today, you know, investigative reporters can only take things so far. But people with subpoena powers can take it further. And fortunately, the people with subpoena powers decided to take it further. And some folks got indicted and convicted and are headed for federal prison.
Now, the Investigative Post is sort of a new way of doing journalism, a nonprofit way. Mm-hmm. How did that come about, and is it going to be a workable model for others?
Yeah, yes. I think for-profit newspapers are becoming nonprofit, and not by design. And so there's been about, there are over 200 nonprofit news organizations around the country. They're not going to replace the daily newspaper because, you know, I mean, I've got, our editorial staff is four people. You know, the daily newspaper in a market, I know here in Albany, the Times Union has, I don't know, 75, 80 reporters. So the nonprofits can't do everything that a daily newspaper can. But what you're seeing around the country are nonprofits that are zeroing in on particular topics. In our case, it's investigative reporting. There are some that are focused on the environment, others that are focused on education, state government. So we can pick up some of the slack. And I think it is definitely a wave of the future. But I think I'm concerned about the future of the media from the perspective of being able to serve the needs of a democratic society, because there are fewer reporters. I think there's more graft and corruption, and it's not a good combination. And so I fear for the country because of the demise of traditional journalism. There's just not enough of it being practiced. There are a lot fewer reporters. Because the business model has fallen apart.
If you're a young reporter at this point, what should you be doing to try to make this a real viable career? And I'll ask you a second part to the question. We talk a lot about the Buffalo Billion, certainly deserve a lot of credit for that. Are there some other stories, perhaps here in the Capital District, we haven't heard about yet that investigative posts, did some really great work on?
All right, let me tackle the second question first. Right now we're in the midst of doing a lot of reporting on shady business at the Western Regional Off-Track Betting Corporation. They're living high on a hog, and so that's one. We've done a lot on lead poisoning of inner-city kids in Buffalo. I think that's a story that can probably be written in any big city.
New York, yes.
Yeah, there's a lot. We've done a lot of other environmental coverage about polluted waterways. New York State has, across the state, a lot of fouled water bodies, lakes, rivers, creeks, and we're continuing to do stuff on questionable economic development projects. It's good for business, I guess. Your first question?
For a young person, journalism school, how do they make a career with all these newspapers laying off so many people these days?
It's a lot harder. It's a lot harder to break in. There are fewer jobs. Entry-level jobs tend to pay poorly. You have to really want it. And you need to be persistent. You need to take work where it's available. Journalism is not a job you're going to ever get rich on, but it can be especially difficult starting out because wages tend to be not good, not good.
Well, thank you very much, Jim Heaney, the winner of the Nellie Bly Award of the Museum of Political Corruption and the editor of Investigative Post. This has been Mark Dunley for Hudson Mohawk Radio Network. Another speaker at the event is Blair Horner, Executive Director of NYPIRG. Blair, is there any hope we're going to clean up corruption in Albany this year?
Well, there's hope springs eternal, the three words that I live by. This is an upcoming election year. We'll see what happens in terms of the Public Financing Commission, which is supposed to come up with recommendations in the next few weeks. Humans being humans, there'll always be corruption. The question really is, do you have independent enforcement that actually can track down the bad guys and put them in cuffs? And we'll see about that.
And how do you feel about this performance on the creation of this Public Finance Commission? Is that an example of good government?
Well, it's an example of, secrecy and backdoor deal making. And we're not exactly sure what the product is going to look like when they get done. But it'll either be something that may have a shot at working, or it may be a new system that collapses because it's poorly thought through. I mean, I'm not looking at this in a way that they're going to develop an excellent program. Too much of it's being done behind closed doors and apparently at the request of the governor and the legislative leaders, not on the merits.
Blair Horner, New York Public Interest Research Group.